Lecture topic, valuing free time.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafahu salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Sadaqallahul azim. Most respected students of Deen, mothers and sisters. People in general, no matter who it might be, every single person has a concern for security. Security is a standard thing. And especially in the place we live in, the country we live in, and many other parts of the world for that matter, where there's greater levels of crime. So security takes an even greater priority, and people spend huge amounts in securing their homes, securing their businesses, their personal selves. People move around with security, etc., etc. So now, the question is, number one, obviously, taking care of one's possessions, one's own life, securing one's family, etc., is all fine, nothing wrong with it. Within the limits, it's all permissible. And if somebody, for example, hires a guard, it's fine, no problem with that. But the point is that what is this meant to secure? So very obvious, secure life and or harm in some way physically, or protect one's property to try to prevent any loss to property. So all this is something we have been taught in Deen to look after things. But the reality is that as far as life is concerned, so one day every single person, their turn will come, each one's turn will come when we are going to leave this dunya. Nobody is going to escape that. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every single soul will taste from the cup of death. That's a given, that's a reality. Nobody has any difference of opinion also on that. And as far as, so in any case, we are allowed to take precautions and must in fact take precautions, and then allowed to secure ourselves also in a reasonable manner. But the thing is that as much as we secure ourselves, the reality is that one day we are going to go. No person can escape death, avoid death. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. The Quran Sharif says that moth will come, even you are in a fortified place, it will find you there. So we will look after ourselves, but at the same time we are conscious of this reality that one day we are going to go. We cannot avoid that. As far as our things are concerned, our property, etc., it's all going to perish someday. Maybe while we're around sometimes, and if not while we're around, after we're gone, it's going to perish. There's no doubt about it. Sooner or later, that will happen. That's dunya. Nothing in dunya is going to remain. And sometimes it's gone in a person's lifetime, sometimes after him. That's a reality. But we do what we can to secure this. And to the extent that it's within the limits of Sharia, it's fine. But something that's going to continue beyond death. When a person has passed away from this dunya, he's passed away, his life is gone from dunya. He's moved over into the next phase. All his belongings left behind, nothing is going to come along. Not one cent will come along. All the things, the fancy things, and nothing will come along. All the brand labels, nothing will come. on the jewelry, etc., permissible to use it. Don't show off with it. Don't make it a means of thinking that I'm better because I have more expensive jewelry or I have more expensive garments. I'm more in style or have something more branded. That doesn't make us anything. That doesn't make us anything at all. And we should have this deeply in our hearts and remind ourselves. This is, again, not the subject, but when a person is adorning themselves with extra jewelry and fancy garments and all that, we should talk to ourselves at that time. At that time, talk to yourself. Don't talk loudly. If somebody hears you talking loudly, they might wonder something, what's going on here. Talk to yourself within yourself. That, look, as long as what is being worn, what is being adorned, is within the limits of Shariat and keeping within the limits of Haya. But remind ourselves that this does not add one dot of worth to a person. What a person wears, what kind of phone the person got, or what kind of car the person is seated in, anything else of this material, of the material things of this world, doesn't give one dot of worth to a person. The dunya, however they may see it, what they may regard it as, that's a dunya. But this is the reality. It doesn't add one dot of worth. Tell ourselves that, remind ourselves. Fine, Allah Ta'ala bless me with this ni'mat. I'm wearing it, but it hasn't made me one dot better. I will have to correct myself and improve myself within, from my heart. And then my actions, not what I'm wearing, how I'm behaving, how am I conducting myself, how conscious am I of Allah Ta'ala, what is in my heart, what qualities are there, what humility I have, what generosity I have, what level of compassion and kindness and forgiveness I have, how much can I control anger. That is strength in the Hadith Sharif. Now people go to the gym and whatever else and this, to what? Now to build up strength. But in the Hadith Sharif, what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? That laysa shadidu bis-sur'ah. That the wrestler is not the one who can wrestle, that the strong person is not one who can wrestle somebody else down. The strong person is alladhi yamliku nafsahu indal ghadab, who can wrestle his anger down. So somebody who can wrestle her anger down, somebody who can wrestle that emotions down and keep it under control, and don't just start venting and just start shouting and screaming about anything and everything, or every small thing is ticking us off, every small thing we shouting, every small thing we getting irritated with our friends, with our classmates, with the people at home, we getting irritated with our parents. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We shouting at our parents, we shouting at our elder brothers, sisters. That's not a strong person. That's a very weak person. And if a person has this, they get ticked off by everything, then sometimes some people say, no, I got a very short fuse. So now anything short is a problem. Generally, that's the case. You got short money, so you can't buy what you need because you got short money. Or you short on fuel now, the person driving somewhere and short on fuel, they can't reach the destination, you get stuck somewhere. So now people say they got a short fuse. A short fuse, then that's also a problem. It's going to cause problems, big problems. So being a short fuse, sometimes people say it like a kind of like an achievement. You know, don't irritate me, I got a short fuse, meaning I'll blow just now. So is that a good thing? Is it a good sign? No, it's a sign of weakness, sign of a lot of weakness. And that's another matter. That's another matter. We must learn to acknowledge our weakness. Acknowledge it. Yes, this is a problem. When there's acknowledgement, there'll be treatment. Inshallah. Meaning, a person will realize, now, I need to sort something out now. I need to take somebody's advice. I need to ask. Now, I have this problem. I have this anger problem. I have this problem with just, I'm a shopaholic. Meaning, I must buy everything. And now, everything is online now. Just buying and buying and buying. They don't know what they're buying. People come and they talk about these things, that now, I don't know how to deal with this, but this is, every time I walk into the house, there's something else there now. I don't know where it came from, some courier company just bringing things and bringing, or sometimes now people themselves are writing for advice that I have this problem, I just can't avoid buying things that I just catch my eye. But now, that is not a sign of strength. That is a sign of weakness. That anything, somebody just must flash one advert in front of me, I succumb. I just go like a weakling now. I just collapse in front of that. I have to buy it now. I have to buy it is a weakness. I need something, then I must see how much I need and what I need to buy. But anything I see I must buy, that's a weakness. So now what the point we're talking about is, you must acknowledge your weakness. There's a weakness, acknowledge the weakness. When we acknowledge the weakness, we will be able to, inshallah, work past it. Inshallah, we'll get the tawfiq of taking advice. Acknowledgement. Acknowledgement is a very, very big step forward. Our general manner is cover up, some excuse. MashaAllah, many people acknowledge their weaknesses also. But unfortunately, this is a common story as well. And if somebody pointed it out, immediately some response of cover up, some response of making some excuse, trying to avoid saying, okay, my fault, or sorry, I made a mistake, or yes, I have a problem, I need to work on this. No, that stems from pride. That stems from pride. Now, that's another thing. To acknowledge, yes, I have pride. And it's terrible. I need to work on it. I need to correct it. Because this pride is a killer. On the day of Qiyamah, this will become a major problem then. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the person who has pride to the extent of a mustard seed will not enter Jannah. Meaning they'll still have to first be the cleanup. You got Iman, mashallah. So we'll eventually go to Jannah. But this pride would become a reason to first go through the cleanup process from Jahannam. Allah save us. So to acknowledge, I got a problem. I need to sort this out. And this acknowledgement will come when we take time to sit down and ponder and reflect. Think about it. In your own solitude, alone, we refuse to think about and reflect about our condition. Unfortunately, that is generally the case. We refuse, meaning not that we won't. So we'll tell somebody, no, I don't want to ever do this. But within ourselves, we refuse to do it. Meaning if it comes to mind too, we just push it aside. It's fine now, I'm okay. Everything is I'm okay. But on the day of Qiyamah, it turns out we're not okay. Then it'll be a big problem. We rather reflect now, we'll see how not okay we are. So to ponder, to reflect, take some time, think about it. What's my life about? What is my character all about? What kind of character do I have? Is this the right way that I go about things? What about all my weaknesses? Isn't this a weakness that I just vent my feelings all the time, anyhow, anywhere? Is it not a weakness? Obviously it's a weakness. It's a big weakness. I need to correct this. I don't have control over anger. Is that not a weakness? Yes, it is. So I must now correct it. Now, if I'm sitting to think about my things, how did I deal with the person? How did I speak to my parents just now, my mother? How did I speak to her? Was that right? Now, think about it. If somebody else did the same thing, who was our junior, how will we take it up? We'd be very, very disgusted about that behavior. We'll reprimand the person, what not we will do. Why? Because it's not correct, it's not right, this is out of line, this manner of talking, this manner of behavior, it's out of line. So now when it's out of line, it needs to be corrected. So now if it is somebody else, then we'll correct them. What about ourselves? So we have to check within our lives and take the time to ponder, sit down and ponder. Ponder about our behavior, about our words. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted what kind of words gentle words, good words, words that bring happiness to the hearts. Even when there was a need to correct somebody, he would correct in what a wonderful way. Subhanallah. There were times when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even slightly raised his voice while speaking to emphasize a point. But you'll find these particular occasions were always in a general address to the whole gathering of Sahaba. Fa'ala sawtuhu. You'll find in the one hadith, one riwayat, his voice was raised. This was all at the time you'll find these kind of occasions. 99% of the time it would be in a general gathering. But it was one-to-one. There was a very gentle approach, gentle manner of correcting. Now one is we're talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is correcting the Sahaba in such a gentle manner. We're talking to our parents. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a great personality, subhanallah. And he's talking to the Sahaba who had sort of submitted, totally in fact, the reality was they totally submitted themselves at his feet. And if he reprimanded them in the most severe manner also, they would have taken it to heart fully without any reservation, wholeheartedly. They had such love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that no matter what the reprimand would be, but that would be a very great blessing for them, bounty for them. It would not mean any offense at all. But yet he addressed them in such a wonderful way, gentle manner. Now, we are talking as children sometimes to our parents. But how are we talking? Now, we must reflect on that. That is this the right way? No, it's not right. So now what am I going to do about it? Person says, am I feeling okay today? No, I'm not feeling okay. I got a severe headache. So then what? Well, I got a severe headache, so let it be. Person starts moving immediately. I need some medication. I got a problem. I need to do something. I need to sort it out. Go see the doctor. But for our spiritual side, our inner self, correcting our heart, to start off with, we don't have any time to reflect upon it. How our behavior is, what our conduct is, no time to focus on that. And then apart from that, if we did reflect somewhere, we did realize, okay, this is not right, so then what? It's all right now, you see now. That's not all right. Allah knows best how much life we have left, what's going on. So any case coming to, we went far off the topic that we, where we started off. Where we started off was that the security. We all have this consciousness of securing our life, our wealth, our property, whatever. So life we can secure up to a point, but one day life is going to go. We can never ever avoid that. But there's something that's going to continue beyond that. All these things will get left behind. All our wealth will get left behind. And all our possessions will get left behind. But what will come along is iman. It's our a'mal. And that is a very crucial time. When we are laid in our qabr. Imagine right now that my grave, how it will be. It's a narrow pit. And then after I'm going to be laid in the grave, they're going to close it up from the top. Then they're going to throw the sand, tons of sand. And I'm going to be alone in my grave. And then the angels are going to come to question me. Am I ready for that? What kind of life am I leading? That can happen very soon. I don't know when it might happen. It can happen very soon. Am I ready for it? If my day comes tomorrow, am I ready? In a week's time, am I ready? When I'm going to start getting ready then? I have to start anytime immediately because I don't know when my time will come. So for that, I need to now secure some things. And what I need to secure is my iman and amal. Because that is what's going to count in the qabr. Now when the angels will come to question me, my iman and a'mal, righteous actions, will come to my aid. And they will help me. On the day of Qiyamah, that's the help I need. Allah Ta'ala's fazal, karam, ihsan. There's iman. Allah Ta'ala's grace will come. There's a'mal. Allah Ta'ala will shower His grace and take this person very fast across to Jannah. But now I need to build up that iman, build up the amal. I need to secure it. I need to correct it. Make sure I'm doing the right things. So one very important and fundamental aspect in securing iman, securing amal, is to be in a secure environment. Secure from a spiritual perspective, from a spiritual side. Secure in terms of deen. Because if the environment is not secure in terms of deen, then that can become very dangerous. Now we are heading to the so-called holiday time. The December period is now at our doorstep. 2 weeks time, less than 2 weeks, it'll be now knocking on the 1st of December already. And many people get very excited. December is coming, they're going to go for a holiday somewhere, and whatever else, and all these things. Now that excitement starts building up, and people are looking forward to it. But people who are concerned about their iman, very often they don't look forward to it. They are afraid of it. They're afraid of it. See, what is this to be afraid of? It's a relaxing time and so on. Unfortunately, many people are afraid that my iman, that the environment that comes out there, that is going to attack my iman. They're afraid about that. That my iman will come under attack. My amal will come under attack. And I can't afford this. Because this is very dangerous then. If my iman gets attacked, my amal gets attacked, Allah forbid, we'll finish off. So therefore, we need to now be also concerned. Like mashallah, people who have the concern for their iman, their amal. So they are in anticipation now. How are we going to handle this time? And concerned about how to protect themselves. So now that protection and security of life, of wealth, of property. More important than that is iman is secured. Secure our iman. Secure our deen. Secure our amal. And one very crucial part of that is being in a secure environment. Now, what is a secure environment? An environment which is conducive to deen. It is not a place where we are distracted and there are vices around. There's lack of any haya. People are in a shameless condition generally all around there. It is a place where there's a lot of maybe other things happening which are not even correct in terms of deen. There's intermingling, there's some music being played somewhere. And the general environment is nowhere, anywhere close to bringing us closer to Allah Ta'ala. This is unfortunately the common environment in December in most places out there. Whether it's the beaches, whether it's the shopping areas, whether it is other public places, most places, unfortunately, this is how it is. So now we have to make a conscious decision that we're not going to be there. That time of the year now, then there's all these gatherings, people are going hunting, bargain hunting. They're going to hunt for bargains. Where? In places which are all collided with men, women, everything, all happening. And sometimes in the name of some dini organization, whatever. Everything is carrying on, and people are there to entertain themselves in one way or the other. Now we are in that kind of environment. Anybody who was there for that period of time, whatever amount of time, did they come out from there with any improvement in their iman? They were inclined towards amal, they felt better in terms of their deen, or they went in the opposite direction? Now they went the opposite direction. This is a common standard story. How many people come and discuss this? That I went to this place, to the souk, I went here, there, and then everything went haywire. So now people say, but there's all the shops out there the whole year round, whatever else, and we carry on. Nobody says that now that it's, all the shops must close down. But there's a big difference between all this. One is that a person is genuinely going to buy some need. So you find a quieter place and get it done. And where things are collided in a way that it gives rise to fitna. And then the purpose is just going around hunting. The bazaars have been described as the worst places on earth. Worst of the permissible places. It's permissible provided one is not getting caught up in any sin, any wrong. But it's still the worst place. And if there's sin and wrong there, then where is it gone to? So we need to become alert to this. That I don't want to risk my iman. I don't want to risk my amal. I'm not going to just go ahead. Everybody's going, so I must go. No, I'm not going to do that. That's strength. That is strength. Otherwise, it means we're very weak. So now, we need to become strong. And how are we going to be strong when we are strong in our iman? Among the things that are going to help us to strengthen this iman tremendously, one of the things that we will just discuss for now, abundant dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Now, especially in these times, the holiday time comes, we should increase our dhikr. Somebody say, but I'm not making any dhikr, then that's a very dangerous situation. We have to increase dhikr. And in this way, inshallah, this will become a protection. Quran Sharif tilawat must happen with a lot of care. And dhikr daily, at least minimum 100 times istighfar deeply from the heart. And 100 times Durood Sharif on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then together with that 100 times, at least Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. 100 times. This too will provide a lot of strength, energy. But then we have to make the mujahada to stay away from such environments that are not conducive to our iman, that will harm us spiritually. Otherwise, Allah forbid where this will take us. Many people say, I was punctual on my salah. I was performing all 5 daily salah properly with jama'ah, men in the masjid. And then I was making tilawat of the Quran Sharif. I was making dhikr, etc., etc., joining dini programs. This one holiday time came, everything got toppled. I have no feeling in my heart to go to the masjid. I have no feeling in my heart to touch the Quran Sharif. I'm just stuck on the phone and wasting time. Allah forbid getting involved in sometimes wrong. But what happened now? The person asking, what happened now? I was going fine. I don't know what happened. See, nobody, you know what happened. Where did you go in the holiday? What you did do? You went to this fair and that fair. And how unfair on the iman. How unfair on the heart. The heart is the place for Allah Ta'ala's love, Allah's muhabbat. Now we filled all these other things in it. How unfair on the heart. So Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq that we become very, very conscious about protecting our iman, securing our iman, our amal. And therefore, we have to avoid any such environments which are not in order, which will not be good for our iman, not be good for our amal, will actually distract us, will take us in a different direction. We stay far away from it. Allah Ta'ala bless one and all with the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala keep steadfast on deen. Save us from the traps of nafs and shaitan. We must realize and be conscious about this as well, that nafs and shaitan now will make a double effort. So if we want to get saved, we'll have to make a double effort also and much more. Now we get, instead of double effort, we go into half effort, to quarter effort. What was generally carrying on, we start dropping and reducing that. Then it's like a person now, they're securing their house and they're securing, putting burglar guards and barbed wire and then electric fencing and whatnot. So they're securing the house, but then they take the valuables of the house and go leave it outside the house. So outside, past the boundary wall, they're leaving everything lying there. They've got a big secure garage and a guard and everything inside, but then they're parking the car with the keys in the ignition outside. So that's very foolish. So therefore we need a double effort. Otherwise, this is a very dangerous time. Allah save us where it can lead us to. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and keep us steadfast in deen and keep us progressing at all times and getting closer to Him. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ اللَّهُمَّ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ كُلُّهُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ كُلُّهُ
اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير، بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين، والحمد لله.